now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, it's Matthew Tosh here, welcoming you to the show and keeping me under control this week. It's Mitch Graham-McMorrow.
Hello, Matthew. Sit down. We're all about musical comedies this week, and we get a visit from Bristol Musical Comedy Club.
Fabulous stuff. We've got the latest podcast from the Just Like Us team.
Oh, Hans Peregrine is with us doing her Wild Mile 5. Plus, we have news, music and plenty of chat.
We certainly do. It's all for you. Welcome aboard. Now, Mitch, pass us your script.
Okay.
Right, just get that match. Okay. Right. Because what we're going to do, I'm going to throw the script away.
Oh.
Right, throwing caution to the wind.
Oh, you are.
Because anything goes this week.
Oh. Anything goes.
So I did that.
I saw what you did there.
There's a lot of consternation
brilliant.
In the background.
Yes.
It was worth doing that, actually, because I just wanted to see the producer's face when I threw the script away, and she's panicking. Steffi,
really?
Hello.
Me panic? Really?
quietly.
Yes. Deep down, maybe.
You are cool as a cucumber, aren't you?
Usually.
That's right.
Usually, yeah. It's how cool do cucumbers get?
They get very, very cool.
I guess it's all important where they are, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't want to freeze a cucumber. It's not nice. Have you ever done that? You put them too near the thing in the fridge.
Goes a bit slimy, doesn't it?
Does it? It's not nice.
It's not nice.
And it goes flaccid. Horrible. There's nothing worse than a flaccid cucumber. It doesn't work in a salad.
Yep.
Right, we've got Terry looking after.
Bite my tongue.
Sorry. That just came in really quickly.
It did, yes.
Sorry. Mitch, I should say, first of all, before we talk to the rest of the team, how are you? I've not been on the air with you for a little while, have I?
I don't think we have, actually, for a long time, Matthew. Yeah, I'm fine and enjoying coming back to Shout Out.
It's lovely to
every third
to
Thursday.
Yeah.
For those of you who love me.
People ask why some members of the team are only sort of seen once a month. In fact, there was a guy talking to me last week, waiting in the hairdressers, and we got talking about Shout Out. And he says, you're only on once a month, aren't you? Once every 4 weeks. And I said, yes. And there's actually a legitimate reason for this. It takes us about 4 weeks to work through the complaints. And once they've calmed down, then I'm allowed back into the studio. But Mitch, you get fan mail.
I get loads of fan mail. And I haven't got around to writing to you all yet. So just bear with me.
Hang on in there.
I will be writing you little thank you cards, each and every one of you. Or both of you. Thank you.
You're waiting to be in process. Anyway, should bring in Steffi properly and Terry as well. So Steffi Barnett and Terry Starr, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. How are we? Hey, what a lush evening.
It's beautiful,
isn't
it?
It is. It's quite humid.
Nice.
It's starting to get humid as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
And the pollen count is creeping.
Oh, do you suffer?
No, but quite a lot of my friends do, and I can just, that's how I know the pollen count's going up, by how much they're streaming. Either that or it's just my sense of humour making them cry.
You need a gas mask.
There are specialist suppliers.
Doesn't matter about hay fever, you just need a gas mask. Yeah.
Some people start getting itchy, don't they?
Yeah. They do. Like, yeah, it's not nice.
It's not pleasant. My partner gets it quite bad. Yeah. Tree pollen.
We shouldn't joke. It's not
it's
nice.
Not
it's
nice.
Miserable.
Anyway, we have some very interesting stuff coming up tonight. A lot of musical comedy we're talking to. So we've got the people from the Bristol Musical Comedy Club coming in to talk to us about their current production and how you can get involved with the club as well. It's a really interesting bunch. Lots of enthusiasm there. And we've got the podcast from the Just Like Us people as well.
So, great. Yeah. And then we've also got My Wild Five newest member of the team.
Yeah.
Hans Peregrine.
You have, yeah.
Who's standing by.
We found out as well last week, she is no relative, by the way, so we've already cleared that up.
Oh, right.
She's not related.
To the Peregrines, the famous Peregrines.
No, the Peregrine Tukes.
The Peregrine Tukes.
Yes.
Or Paul Weller.
Or Paul Weller. Or Paul Weller, yes.
Is he a Peregrine? I'm a Peregrine Weller.
Oh.
I'm showing my complete ignorance here. I have no idea what you're talking about.
What's wrong with being related to Paul Weller?
Oh, nothing. I'm just not.
Oh.
Okay. Or a hobbit.
No, well, I don't know. I'm quite sure.
Indeed. Well, listen, I hope you're standing by because we're going to cue you. You got your jingle and everything.
Oh, I'm excited.
So let's do this. It's a live My Five.
My Five on Shout Out.
My name is Hans Peregrine Weller. I'm very new to radio. This is my third week here. Still all very exciting. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I come from a small town and performing sort of theatrical background and just kind of an overall eccentric. I thought I'd go straight in by talking about how I came out because I realised when speaking to some people earlier that actually I haven't sort of publicly shared this with very many people. So on reflection, when I look back, there was kind of an evolution of coming out for me. It came in stages, which was possibly heterosexual, maybe not, possibly bisexual, maybe not. Better tell people I'm a lesbian, I'll explain that in a minute. Fast forward 15 years later to a kind of semi-fully evolved pansexual genderqueer human being. I spent quite a lot of time in a cluttered but a very expressive closet, and I was quite content with being in there. Eventually came out at 17, which was a unique experience. I come from a very small town, and when speaking to the local LGBT community, they told me that I couldn't come out as bisexual, which was reinforced. I know, interesting.
I know. So
I know.
I've been there. Yeah, go on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So times have moved on since then, and people, are a lot more open-minded. And the thing is that I wasn't actually bisexual. It's just that, when I was 16, 17, there weren't the words pansexual, demisexual, so forth. Yeah. So it was very, very difficult for me to express myself to other people. And to sort of feel like things fitted for me because knowing now that I am genderqueer, lesbian, I mean, just doesn't fit in many ways for me. And I've dated men, women and trans people. So, it's kind of, like I said, sort of an evolution. And from a young age, fortunately, I was always extroverted. So to be fair, there wasn't a lot that surprised my family members. Coming out was a little bit daunting. It was done through letter format, run upstairs, hide under duvet and hope that I disappear for a little while. And things were a bit complicated for a few months, but I'm guessing that's kind of the way when things suddenly change.
I think also when you're young as well, you've got nothing to compare it to. You're sort of still learning those life experiences and suddenly you're thinking, yeah, I've got to make a big announcement to my parents.
Of course.
It's really daunting, isn't it?
It's so daunting. And the night before I had a meal and told myself it was the Last Supper. Dramatic.
Yeah.
and part of that was because not only was I involved with a lot of theatre groups, I was always also heavily involved with the church, which is something I chose at 10 years old. My parents aren't religious at all. So again, quite a quirky life choice. And my life was sort of taken up by many things, theatre, sometimes the LGBT group, and the church. Took me a long time to feel comfortable in myself, and I think that theatre and comedy have really helped me express who I am, and I've been likened to the lovely Sue Perkins and
Super Kings, as we call
them. Super Kings, yeah.
Super Kings.
Some of my heroes are quite a bit more out there: Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, Miranda Hart, and I think I found my voice through humour. And through theatre, I suppose there's something for me personally about being somebody else for a little bit.
Almost like an escapism, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's a lot of fun as well. And the community.
Just another way to find an expression, isn't it? To express who you are as well in a true sense. Because when you give comedy or you give theatre, you're giving of your heart as well. And people, because it it's that's where it comes from.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something I'd like to get back into. I did try comedy once when I was 17. And it was all a bit of a shock to the system because I was asked to stand in. It went down quite well. But something I'd sort of like to revisit, as well as also really embracing radio. And so, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit about me. It's difficult to get everything in 5 minutes, but I hope I've got some stuff across to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really interesting.
My Five on Shout Out. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
That was lovely. That was Hannah Pennegrino there. Oh, hey. Just giggling going on in the background of the studio. Be quiet, please.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I couldn't resist putting this one in. Something for the weekend.
Oh, it's divine.
It is divine, isn't it? And it's comedy as well.
Barely.
But the title, Something for the Weekend, that was a euphemism, wasn't it?
I think that is a euphemism for when you got your hair cut, and then a gentleman barber would say, something for the weekend, sir, because that's when you probably thought you were going to get your nookie.
Going to get your lookie, yeah. I wonder if they still do that. I can actually ask my barber about that. Not, I didn't ask him for something for the weekend. I asked him, you know, has he ever done that? Has anyone ever asked him that? But he said no. I was somewhat disappointed.
Well, I think it's so very old. It's very old.
If there's any hairdressers listening, I don't know if there's any hairdressers out in our LGBT community, but let us know. Have you ever been asked for something for the weekend like that? Anyway, we're talking about comedy. I want to play that because we're coming into our comedy section. We're joined by a couple of members of the Bristol Musical Comedy Club, Ian Dunscombe and Liv Garriock. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you here. You're quite busy at the moment, aren't you?
Just
indeed,
a bit.
Yeah.
Yes, you've got a production coming up. Just before we talk about that, though, I want to talk about the Bristol Music Comedy Club. Do you call it BMCC because it's quite a mouthful?
We do, yes.
You do?
Yeah, Bristol Musical Comedy Club or BMCC, however you want to say it.
So, give us a bit of a background about the theatre company club, musical comedy club.
Well, it's been a long history. We've been around for about 90 years overall.
90?
Yeah, 90 years. And have performed in many of the theatres across Bristol, Bristol Hippodrome, Bristol Old Vic. But now we mostly perform at the Redgrave Theatre over in Clifton. Lovely theatre. And we perform there once a year, as well as doing another production in the autumn. And this month's production is Anything Goes.
Wow. 90 years. I'm flabbergasted because you don't look that old, you see, Ian, at all.
Well,
he's aged well, hasn't he?
He has.
It's all the tap dancing.
Yes. What else keeps you fit then, Lisa? What else keeps you fit?
Doing musical theatre definitely keeps you fit.
Well, on that, actually, I mean, so musical theatre, are you talking about the whole gamut? There's the acting in there, singing, is there dancing?
That's right, it's the whole package. So, yeah, it's lots of dancing, and there's tap dancing in this show, acting, singing, all at the same time often as well. So you definitely keeps your brain active.
Yeah, that's well what I was body. Trying to get to. Like, how do you rehearse for all of those things? It's kind of complex, isn't it? Because you have to be singing while you're dancing. And how hard
that's
is that?
That's right. Yeah, well, we start off usually by learning all the music first, and then putting the dancing to the music is always a bit of fun when you have to sing it and dance it for the first time.
It's multitasking, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's multitasking.
And then as you go through the rehearsal process, it all comes together and you have a show.
Obviously, you say you do two productions per year, but are you already working on your next production? I mean, how long is that lead in time and how often do you rehearse each week?
We start planning quite early on, so we kind of have a schedule of 2 years ahead, really, but the rehearsal schedule is usually about 5 months. Because we are a community theatre group, so we will rehearse Mondays and Fridays, sometimes a weekend, building up towards the show. And sometimes it might just be the principal's called or one musical number or something like that, but it all comes together.
Maybe the odd little extra rehearsal here and there, yeah, just in that last week or so.
We'll have to wait and see if that's needed.
So how do you decide like the themes of the musicals that you you've got awards for as well? We'll talk about that in a minute as well.
Well, I suppose we like to choose a like diverse range of different musicals. So this is a very classic musical comedy, but we do like to choose things. We've done productions such as 9 to 5 the musical last year. We did Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So we always try to do something that will entertain different people, but ultimately we want people to leave with a smile on their face,
yeah,
that you know, a jump in their step, and that's what Anything Goes will hopefully give to people.
For those people that aren't familiar with the plot, can you give us a sort of an overview of what it's about? I know there's kind of there's a bit of a love triangle going on, maybe.
There sure is. It's a classic boy meets girl with obstacles along the way kind of tale, and a bit of mistaken identity, all the classics from a musical written in 1934. So it's pretty old-fashioned, it's a classic tale.
Excellent.
So it's got all the building blocks that you need, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Mm. So what role will you be performing? Either one of you.
So Ian, who are you playing?
I'm supporting the ensemble, so I'll mostly be dancing. I'm sailor number two, you might say.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Got sailor my tap shoes
two.
On.
Nice.
I have a few lines here and there.
Yeah.
I play multiple parts, which is always fun.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, multitasking again within a multitasking show.
Exactly.
Yeah. Stage left, second but one, that sort of thing. Yeah, from the second tab. And Liv, have you got a main role? Are you at a background? What's the deal?
I am playing Irma, who is one of the supporting characters. And so she's a sort of gangster's mole type character. She's pretty sassy, got a big personality, and she's a big fan of the sailors. Mostly. Mm. So lots of characters end up with a partner at the end of the show. Irma just ends up with all the sailors.
All the sailors.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go on, Irma.
Which the sailors are very happy about, I have
well,
to
there
say.
You go.
She must be quite happy as well. I mean,
I think she great. Pretends she's...
Quite a few of us wouldn't mind a few sailors. But anyway, great. So, and this is coming up on the first full week in May, isn't it? 7th to the 11th of May, I've got in front of me here. At the Redgrave Theatre.
Yes, exactly. Tuesday the 7th to Saturday the 11th. We're doing a matinee on the Saturday as well.
Oh, okay.
Up at the Redgrave. And if you want to get tickets, you can do. That would be great. That's why we're here. So you can go to www.redgravetheatre.com. Tickets are just £13 for opening night or £15 for the rest of the run, which is a really good price for evening's entertainment.
He's good, yes. Isn't he? He's on message.
Oh, very, very good, because that saves us. You can repeat it at the end and absolutely. It'll be on our podcast.
Well, we'll put the links actually on our website so that people who are listening on the podcast, if they haven't had time to write it down, you can just find it on the Shout Out website, which is linked to from all our social media and things like that. But talking about the club now, though, presumably you have to keep, you've been going for 92-ish years. I mean, you were founded in 1926 as the Brislington Players. What's made it successful? Why is it lasted that long, do you think?
I think that obviously the passion for musicals, people are just doing things that they really love, and that's what's bringing all kinds of people together, having that sort of shared passion. And just doing that, you know, and then having our friends and family being able to share that with us is such a great thing. And it is like a family, really, when you join a group like ours, and you just get to know everyone and everyone kind of plays their role. And it just continues like that. So we've got people involved with the club who've been involved with it for, you know, 30 more years.
Almost like furniture.
Yeah,
but they're the glue, aren't they?
They often are the glue, yeah.
For clubs like that to just keep going and just keep that momentum going as well with the, you know, the commitment.
Yeah, definitely.
Sounds like it's been, you know, really well invested in by the community.
Yeah.
Do you find that people have got certain talents or preferences? I mean, for example, the reason I'm asking this question, I'm quite a techie person. So if there was a person who thought, well, I love theatre, I love musical theatre, but I don't want to actually be a performer, do you still open membership to them, or are you predominantly for performers and then you source all your support people from elsewhere?
No, we're for everyone. So whether you want to be on stage, off stage, or just... in the background, helping out with wardrobe, props, anything you like.
Which are crucial roles.
Absolutely.
For a production, aren't they?
Yeah, you can't put a production on stage without the people backstage. So if you want to get involved in any capacity, then we'd love to have you.
Okay, and is there a commitment that people expected all year round, or if they can only say do, they're busy up till Christmas and they can't, you know, come along that time, is it quite flexible?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if people just want to commit to one show, or they want to just come, you know, once a week, or, you know, however they want to do it. If you're obviously performing, it's a bit more commitment just to make sure you're attending all the rehearsals. But yeah, because however much you want to give is what we'll have, as it were.
I like that. Yeah. Just bring it. Come on,
yeah.
Bring it in.
So, any volunteers, welcome.
Please do.
So, yeah, because you are actually award winning, aren't you? So,
historically, we've got a few listed here. Shall I say
them? In 2006, your rock opera production of Tommy saw you scooping the Rose Bowl for the best actor, best supporting actor, and technical achievement.
This is true.
So, yeah, were you involved in that?
I wasn't either.
That's
before my time.
But that was a while ago, that one. But there's some more recent ones as well.
Oh, yeah, sorry. 2008, production of Sweeney Todd. Also got the Rose Bowl and took the Best Actor Award.
Yeah.
City of Angels and Guys and Dolls in 2010 had 4 nominations. 2016, you celebrated your 90th anniversary.
We did, indeed. Great stuff. It was a big year, that was.
So that's what you meant by 92.
So come on then, you two are clearly very dedicated. You come into the studio. Why do you do it? What drives you personally? Why do you get involved in this stuff?
I mean, it's just such a lot of fun, and it's a great way to meet people. And as Ian was saying, there's a real community in the theatre world, so you really do feel like you have a family. And personally, it's where most of, you know, my friends and my social life is part of the theatre. I recently moved from New Zealand, and I needed to meet new people in Bristol, so it was the perfect way for me to sort of get involved, really. And I've been doing it for many years.
What about you, Ian?
Exactly the same. You know, I moved to Bristol, but 11-12 years ago, and knew I wanted to get involved in something, and this was the best way to go and do something you love and meet new people at the same time. So it's opened a lot of doors in that way, so it's great fun.
And have you got a different age range and, you know, ability range and all that kind of, all the peeps in there?
Yeah, definitely. We welcome all ages, and, you know, shows contain everyone, all sorts of characters, so, you know, we always need people of different ages, so anyone who's interested can definitely come along. We've got auditions coming up soon, so if people want to come and hit us up, then they can just visit our website or an email us and we'll get back to them.
What I like is the fact that you're still going and you're competing successfully against modern technology, so the YouTubes and social media, yet to see a community, you know, a musical comedy club surviving that test of time is extraordinary and absolutely brilliant. And I just wondered whether we need that as a society to kind of, for our own sanity, really.
I think so. I think there's nothing like live theatre. There's a certain magic that comes with being in a room with the theatre and a show, a story, escapism just happening in front of you. It's all lovely to go and see the professional shows at the Hippodrome and things like that, but, you know, they're a lot out of a lot of people's price range, and theatre shouldn't be for only the people who can afford it. So that's where community theatre comes in. But also, if you want to get involved in it as well, as Hans was saying earlier, it's great escapism. So theatre really is for everyone, and I hope we'll always have a place in our society.
Escapism. For actors, but also for the audience. I like the lights go down. I'm off to the theatre on Saturday, and I love that moment when the lights go down and you can almost forget about the outside world, and for the next couple of hours you're just in that space and you can lose yourself.
It's a fantastic way to just to forget all your stresses and everything, as well as watching as well as performing as well. I think that once you get
the bug, it's addictive.
It is very, very addictive, and I speak from personal experience as well.
We're talking to Ian Dunscombe and Liv Garriock from Bristol Musical Comedy Club. They've got their forthcoming production of Anything Goes at the Redgrave Theatre on Tuesday the 7th of May to Saturday the 11th. There's a matinee on the Saturday as well. Tickets are available from the Redgrave Theatre. Just remind us of the price, Ian.
For the opening night, it's £13. And for all other all other performances, it's £15.
Fabulous. Tickets are available from the website. I think there might be a booking fee there, but just go to redgravetheatre.com. And if you want to find out more about the BMCC players themselves, it's bmccproductions.com. And we very much hope that you'll come back and see us again ahead of your next production.
Mm. We would love to do that. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yes, you'd be more than welcome. I'd love to hear about your Anything Goes show.
Well, listen, best of luck for the production. We'll try and get along. Some of us should try and come along and see. And, can I say break a leg?
I think that's the actual thing to say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, you don't say good luck. You say break a leg. So, yes. Liv Garrick and Ian Dunscombe, thank you very much for coming and talking to us.
Thank you.
Thanks thank you so much.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's very foot tapping stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Cole Porter there. Anything
Terry,
goes.
Get off the table now.
Yeah, you've got a job to do. You've got news to do next. So just getting back in his seat there. Are you all right there now?
I am, yes.
Exerting yourself. You get very excited easily when the music comes on, don't you?
Especially, he hasn't even broken into a sweat. You know, look at
I'm about 2 million in gay years anyway, so I'm around him.
Oh, Terry, you're
when
so...
Cole Porter was writing a great song, actually, Anything Goes. I love it.
It is. It's just these things, like I was saying to our guests, they've stood the test of time. And the fact that theatre just keeps on going and going and going, it's wonderful stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's a great art form.
Yeah.
Shall we get some news?
You're more than welcome.
Yep. Right, here we go.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, 18th of April, 2019.
An East Bristol resident has sharply criticised the argument that women should not be entitled to free sanitary products on the NHS when in hospital because men do not qualify for free razors. Martin Pearson writes in the local East Bristol community paper The Week In to challenge readers who had written that women were being sexist and making the comparison with the male need to shave. He says that this is like comparing apples to oranges and notes that men can choose not to shave at will, with beards being highly fashionable again. By contrast, women menstruate whether they want to or not. Furthermore, the VAT on sanitary products is quite considerable and makes poorer women less able to afford the items they need. In central Bristol, fly posters have appeared addressing this issue, saying, "It's time to stop period poverty."
With advance apologies to our listeners on Radio Tricoid in Swansea and many Scottish people who tune in online, but what could be more English than the sound of leather on willow? Leather, may you ask? No, nothing fetishy in this report. We are, of course, talking about the English national sport of cricket. Hundreds of years old and utterly impenetrable to anyone but an aficionado, the day after John Major was ousted as Prime Minister in 1997 by the Labour landslide of Tony Blair, he popped out to a cricket match and had an ice cold beer. And of course, who can blame him? The Chew Valley-based community newspaper, The Gazette, reports that in the village of Stanton Drew, a beautiful historical settlement in the Somerset Hills, a new girls' cricket team is being launched in May. The Stanton Drew Cricket Club already has a women's side, and the new outreach service is for girls aged between 9 and 13 and will complement a similar junior side for boys. The Somerset Cricket Board have been kind enough to supply a new coach for the training team, and expertise will be present from an adults women's side, known as the Stanton Smashers. So, for more information, contact the Stanton Drew Cricket Club at their website, which is available on all search engines.
Boys Magazine has been a voice for gay and bisexual men and inclusive of transgender men for the last 28 years. Although criticised by some in the Bear media back in the 90s for its celebration of muscle culture, the magazine actually has a strong tradition of ethics. It took a strong stance in favour of safer sex, and many now middle-aged gay people will recall the free stickers promoting risk reduction which were slapped on college books, lamp posts and pillar boxes the length and breadth of the land. Today the publication is a great survivor of the gay press. Press. It remains committed to building gay community institutions and has recently launched a new website called bboys.com. The new website will allow gay, bi and trans men to share their interests in a non-sexual environment. Whether it be birdwatching, politics, antiques or sports, B-Boys will be a website where men can chat, share and build community institutions. And yes, there is a platform dedicated to Doctor Who. The website is waiting for you to join now.
BBC Six Music reports on Wednesday that the new regulations to come in to protect young people online will come into force from July. Pink News takes up the story, saying that the new regulations on providers of online adult content will go live on the 15th of July. The rules will mean that proof of age will be required to view adult material and that any platform failing to offer such a filter will be subject to prosecution. The regulations have been praised by some, but according to a report on LGBT news centre Gay Star News, there are many consumers of gay, trans and fetish scenes online with concerns that their privacy may be compromised. Gay Star News says that technology experts have cited fears over surveillance, cybersecurity and blackmail. Consumers of pornography are also concerned about the potential data hacks or that their habits may be tracked by the government.
And finally, it is Easter week. The festival is important to Christians of many denominations, and we feel that it is important to recognise at this special time the contributions of many good people of faith to LGBT equality. Despite the antics of fundamentalist outfits, there are many Christians who support human rights for all. For example, groups such as the Quakers, the Unitarian Universalists, the Episcopal Church in America, and the United Church of Christ, to name just a few. So, we send our Easter greetings to LGBT Christians and our allies across the Christian world. We wish you a happy Easter, full of joy and love, and remember, not too much chocolate in those Easter eggs.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Andy Hall.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There we are, from 1906. Not the recording, but that was Scott Joplin's The Ragtime Dance, played there by Joshua Rifkin. Now, it's the time of the month when we have the Just Like Us team with their podcast. And this month, it's Sarah and James discussing LGBT issues in schools.
Just Like Us, for LGBT young people.
Ciao, Sarah. What's up?
Hey, James.
She's giving me a look because she's disappointed.
Well, James
the
has
way
been,
I decided to start that.
James has been trying out his Italian accent on me.
And it's I'm not, how you say very bad.
Yeah, it's how you really say bad. Eastern European.
I have to do it for but, a play soon and yeah. It's not going to be good. Well, we're talking about LGBT issues in schools. Mm-hmm. And this is relevant. Why, Sarah?
Basically, in a primary school in Birmingham called Parkfield Community School, mm-hmm. They recently had to suspend their No Outsiders programme, which basically is a programme that uses storybooks to teach about same-sex couples to kids. Mm-hmm. And doing, like, it's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
But hundreds of parents reported, like, reportedly, like, withdrew their children from the class amid, like, weekly protests. And, yeah, it's gotten a bit out of hand. And this has, like, raised this question of whether it's okay to teach young people about LGBT issues or, like, what the benefits are.
And yeah, Question Time as well. There was a big furore because Question Time had that question they posed to people that said, is it morally right that five-year-old children learn about LGBT issues in school?
I think they had to go back to the drawing board on that one. But yeah,
it's not Fiona's best.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, so we're just kind of talking about what we would have liked to see in schools, if and like our experiences of LGBT issues being taught in schools, which won't take long because they weren't taught in my school.
Mm-hmm.
And like just kind of the impact of that going forward, I think, and what we'd like to see.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So, LGBT issues in schools. So, you mentioned just a minute ago, were you taught anything?
Really?
I don't
at all.
Definitely not taught anything. I think it was maybe mentioned. I probably brought it up. No, we. I think we had a lot of topics. We had some debate type classes where it was kind of things would be brought up, and then there'd be a time where someone who you knew was straight would bring up LGBT people, and you kind of hold your breath a bit kind of be like, "Oh, is this going to be good or bad?" And then, definitely nothing really from teachers, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think I had. I mean, people were aware of the things. I think I ended up having a few conversations with people who were like, "So what's this trans business?"
And yeah,
I was like, okay. Yeah. We'll take a minute to go over that. But like, honestly, I think closeted LGBT people end up doing more LGBT education that is like very stressful for them to do than the actual teachers are giving pupils.
And I think
in most schools,
it's a lot of like emotional labor, which is another word something gets banned
buzzword,
in that.
But it is so stressful.
It's a lot of stress to kind of have to debate your own existence, or like prove, almost validate your own existence to people who are like,
without letting on that it's your own existence.
Oh, that's
it's like
worst.
I think gay people are great, but I have no particular agenda. Personal agenda.
Yeah, I would be like, I an LGBT supporter. Like, it would be, that was one of the things when I came out, I would be like, "Mom, how didn't you know?" Like, I was debating this for ages. She'd be like, "You just like to debate." but
to be fair.
So
what would you have liked to have had? That's a long sentence. What would you have had that would have been happy about it and you would have said, "Yes, good."
I like how you reworded that and then made it longer and worse than the original, but I loved it.
What
did I want to hear?
What did you want to hear when you were at school?
I think it was mostly just anything. I think I was kind of like, that's the weirdest part, is that when you grow up not hearing anything about it in schools, it sends this very like strange message of like, this isn't a thing that's appropriate to be spoken about, which I think then adds to this idea of like shame and you feeling you can't like share who you are. So I think just the idea of it being spoken about in any way and being like, this is the thing that happens and it's okay to feel this way, or to for families to exist in this way. Because part of the program is about like teaching very like people in primary school. So I think having that from such a young age would have really like set the kind of groundwork of this is okay. And I think it's also important to notice that this doesn't mean they're going to go straight in with any kind of like LGBT like sex education in primary schools or anything. I think feel like people get a bit carried away sometimes, because at primary school level, it's just going to be talking about the different types of families that you can have. So like, people can have two mums or two dads, or like two parents, and like same-sex families just as a thing that existed. Like, that would have blown 7-year-old me's mind. I think that's the thing, is like realizing how little it is that LGBT people are asking for. Kind of just any kind of representation for me would have been massive and like very impactful, and just seeing LGBT people in a positive light. I think people would have just realized that LGBT people weren't just there as like the butt of jokes. I think would have been the major impact.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
You had a point earlier as well that we were gonna go over about section 28, which I thought was a good point.
Let's see if I can remember this point.
If you don't, I will remember it for you.
So as we know, like, Section 28 was about banning the promotion of homosexuality in schools.
Just meant they couldn't talk about it at all. They couldn't say it existed.
And I think when that was then, like, abolished, there was never anything that was brought in place that was kind of, we have to talk about these things, which would have then counteracted it. It was kind of just the issues kind of almost faded into the background. Schools could get away with still being very homophobic and choosing not to bring it up, or like educate their children on it, which I think has then like left these kind of this impact of kind of this idea that it's a taboo thing to talk about, when it's really definitely not. And I mean, think
there's so many schools who will have exactly the same policies on it now as they did under Section 28,
definitely,
except the difference is that before those policies were enforced by law, and now those policies are the things schools are choosing to do,
because those policies haven't been like kind of outlawed in any way. They haven't been banned in any way. They've just been like abolished.
You don't have
like,
to have those.
It's kind of, you don't have to have them, but I don't know, it's a strange one.
But it means, effectively, for a lot of schools, it's exactly the same as living under Section 28 in terms of what kids are learning. There is hope, because there is now legislation going through about having to provide relationships, education. Everything we've talked about applies to not only... It's often thought of as an issue exclusively with regards to sex education, which is obviously very important, and there is a lack of LGBT sex education, but it's just as important, you know, relationships education, talking about these types of relationships as
allowed.
Yeah.
And as things that exist.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
So, on an optimistic note, yay for LGBT education in schools.
Yeah.
Yay for more of it going forward.
Yeah, and hopefully there'll be more of this, like, that will have, like, positive impacts in the future and kind of the way that we look at LGBT education.
Yeah, and hopefully more productive discussions about these sorts of things rather than the question time style.
We really hate that question time question.
We really do.
Sorry, but,
Fiona.
Yeah, so...
signing off.
Yeah, we'll see you next month.
We'll get back down to it next month.
Yay.
See ya. Bye.
You've been listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people. The music was by Twisteria. We come into schools too. Young people, teachers and parents can find us at www.justlikeus.org.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT Radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That is Mr. Will Young there. All of the songs.
Oh,
so, very good. Very good mixture of music this evening. I'll just try and mix it up a little bit. So, right, you are listening to Shout Out with Mitch McMorrow and Matthew Tosh, and Terry Starzer leapt back into his studio chair.
I don't leap.
We saw you, Terry. There's no denying it
don't
now.
Don't squeeze, you
try and
waddle.
Create this illusion. No. It's okay. We've just got a bit of time to talk about what's been happening in Brunei recently. Yeah. It's quite horrific, actually, what's going on. Can you just bring us up to speed?
Yes. Brunei is a tiny little country on the coast of Borneo. Britain has strong relationship with Brunei. In fact, I was just talking to Steph off mic. They have several thousand troops stationed there. And it's a very tiny, it's like a city state. Its population is about 400,000, so about the population of Cardiff or Swansea, you see. And they've instituted a very strict form of Sharia law. Now, a lot of the publicity has been about the LGBT aspect, because sex between men is punishable under this new law by stoning to death.
Wow.
So it's kind of like a Bronze Age kind of treatment.
Absolutely.
But also we should mention that there are other aspects to this very, very strict interpretation of Sharia Islamic law, including people who declare themselves to be atheist or to follow another religion other than Islam, or to declare themselves a former Muslim. So there's actually scope here for LGBT activists to build an alliance with other groups as well that are going to be affected by the Sharia law, and I think that's quite important to know. But lots of people are boycotting hotels owned by Brunei, by the Sultan of Brunei, because he's effectively a dictator. It's like an old-fashioned monarchy from the medieval sense, you see.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. Elton John's boycotting, Cerean McKellen, Ellen DeGeneres, lots and lots of people. So
the latest is Peter Tatchell saying £150,000 was paid to the British police to train the Brunei police.
Wow, fantastic. Wow. Well, thank you very much for that. Okay. Sorry, I've got to cut you short. We've survived another week. Well, I mean, we've reached the end of the show.
And next week, we'll be speaking to the LGBTQ Sex Worker Collective. And don't forget to catch up with the previous shows on our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Thank you. You've been listening to Shout Out with Matthew Tosh and Mitch Graham Morrow. It's produced by Steffi Barnes in Bristol and is broadcast from the BCFM studio. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we look forward to your company again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT Radio for you.